Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Today on the podcast, Jamie and I are going to be talking about the GPT store because there is so many interesting GPTs that have been built. We're going to be talking about making money building GPTs, some strategies I think to make that you can use to make this successful. In addition, how you can actually use these GPTs for your own business. So it's not just like how to make money from GPTs, but obviously like these things are really valuable for your business. A lot of cool things you can do there. So we're just diving into everything on the GPT store. But to kick this off, Jamie, have you looked at the GPT store, and maybe if so, like what are some interesting things you're seeing there?
Yeah, so I mean, already there's, you know, tons of GPTs out there. People are making them left and right. It's hard to sift through a lot of them and figure out which ones are good in, or not, without, you know, just testing individually each one. But I found a few that I really feel like would be helpful for anyone who is a side hustler or just a business owner in general. And so I just want to share a few of them with you. That I found. I'm thinking kind of with some of these that I found along the lines of like, if you had a social media marketing agency, or if you're trying to do marketing and or branding for companies, which that's a great way to make money, especially as a side hustle. There's a few here. So the first one is called Logo Creator, which actually will generate a mock-up of like 16 different logos for, you know, you're based on your prompt that you give it. So, and I was surprised, they're actually really clean, good looking logos. It's very customizable. And, so someone basically, just created a prompt out of, I think using DALL-E combined with ChatGPT, and, made really cool logo design, GPT, and it actually works really good. So it's made for professional logo designs and app icons. So, I mean, that in itself is a side hustle. But if you, again, if you had like a social media marketing and you're, that could be something you could offer to clients with not a whole lot more work and have, you know, be able to offer something else to them and upsell them. So, yeah, what do you think about these, Jane? I have a few more that I'm excited about, a lot of these, but yeah, what do you got?
So, yeah, I have tested out the Logo Creator, and I actually do think that it's pretty powerful. It's a cool tool. I think like it's interesting because a lot of people, I know the criticism is going to be like, oh, well, like the Logo Creator, for example, like you could just figure out like the prompts to do this on your own using like DALL-E 3 built into ChatGPT. But the reason I love these GPTs is because it makes it so simple. You don't actually have to go sit there and figure out the prompts to do this specifically, because it just takes so much time. So being able to just like open something like this up, it's free. I mean, after you pay for GPT Premium, which I think a lot of people already are, you could just run this thing. So the Logo Creator, I tested it out. It created some pretty good logos for me, so I was impressed with that one. Another one that I thought was cool in the same ballpark was the Canva plugin. So it looks kind of like OpenAI did like a couple big kind of like headline GPTs here. Canva is obviously a big company that they did an integration with. I'm going to say my only like criticism of the Canva one is like, of course Canva's amazing, I literally use it for everything, so this is why I have the criticism, but it wasn't like as powerful as I wanted it to be, or even as understanding. And I get that there's like a lot of constraints and this is like early days, so like I'm like, you know, I'll let it slide. But like I think I went to the Canva one and I said, make me a pitch deck for a company that does like X, Y, and Z things based off of blah 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 blah, because I wanted to see, I'm like, you know, they definitely have pitch deck templates on Canva. And when I did that, instead, okay, so in the description for the Canva plugin says effortlessly design anything, presentations, logos, social media posts, and more. And then I told it to make me a PowerPoint or like a pitch deck or whatever, and it literally created me one slide from a pitch deck, one logo, and then one social media post about that same thing. So like the description, it's like, create presentations, logos, social media posts, and more. But it, like when I asked it to do one specific thing, it just did one of all three of those things in the description. So I don't know if they need to fine tune it. I don't know what the deal was. Okay, so that was my criticism of it, was like it didn't do what I wanted it to do. But on the plus, and I mean, of course, I'm sure they could fix that in the future, so it's not like it's permanently broken, just wasn't as useful today as I wanted it to be. But the plus sign, what I thought was actually really cool about it, was that the three things that it did design for me, it had like a Canva link where I clicked on them, and it opened up like a project on Canva that I could edit. So like it did sort of do what I wanted. Like it came up with some graphics and some fonts and some text in the niche or space that I wanted. So, I mean, all in all, I think it's pretty cool, but, you know, it probably needs a little bit of fine tuning on like actually understanding, like I just wanted a presentation, not three different things.
Yeah. But I mean, it's going to get there. This is like just the beginning, and Canva already is one of my favorite and most used programs. And already it's, you know, so coming from like a photography video background, Adobe Photoshop has been, you know, for years what I had used. But Canva just already is so much easier and faster to use that I hardly ever use Photoshop anymore. Plus I'm paying $20 a month for Photoshop. So GPT premium is $20 a month plus, but you could have access to so many different tools. So I could see honestly Canva paired with ChatGPT as overtaking Photoshop someday. I mean, there almost is no need for it anymore anyways. It's crazy.
I know. I'm so curious to, like, I know Adobe's putting a lot of work into, like, the whole AI space, but, like, to be honest, I'm the same as you. Like, I pay monthly for, like, the Adobe, you know, suite of, like, tools for, like, Premiere for video editing and Photoshop and stuff. And I used to be, like, literally the Photoshop master. And also Adobe XD. But, like, literally over the last couple years, like all my XD I've replaced with Figma. It's just so much better and faster. And then, which they tried to buy, but that got canceled. So it's literally a thing. And then Photoshop. Yeah. Like I just don't use it anymore. It's literally between Figma and Canva. Like I just feel like I almost don't have a need unless there's like some very specific, like I have to cut like something out and blend something like a certain way and get like really in depth, but like, honestly, it doesn't get there very often. And, to your point, I think once you start having something like ChatGPT paired with like Dolly, it's going to get to the point where like you can just go to Dolly and say, take this photo and do X, Y, and Z to it. And it's just going to like Photoshop it for you and just do everything. So like, I think we get to a point where unless Photoshop adapts, which I know they're trying and they're implementing a bunch of AI stuff, but like, yeah, I'm pretty much replacing them with Canva already.
Yeah. And back to, you know, my point, this is really just the beginning. So, you know, if a tool is not perfect now, it's going to continue to improve. Like just hold on to your butts, because it's going to be sweet. And I'm just really excited about a lot of these. Another one that, you know, maybe doesn't seem like that powerful, but I actually could find very useful is Convert Anything, it's called. You can convert images, audio, video to other file formats, which, you know, back in the day, I'd have to do like a long Google search for, you know, JPEG to PDF converter, make sure it's not like a malware website, you know, make sure it's free, all this kind of stuff. And now this is just another tool built into the whole GPT premium suite. And so that's just really exciting to me that there's so many tools combined into one software. I think it's really powerful.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, a couple other random ones that I've looked at. Khan Academy has one called Code Tutor, so I thought that was kind of interesting. But like, it was funny because I obviously was using it wrong. I wasn't trying to learn to code. I was just like, oh, I wonder if it's like good at coding stuff. And so I was like, hey, write me some code that does blah blah blah. And it's like, I can't do that. But how do you think you should do that? And it was like, I'm like, okay, I'm using it wrong. Like, I'm not learning to code today. But I'm sure it's a good one. And then another interesting one I saw was like, I think it was like All Trails, the hiking. So they had one where you're like, hey, find me like 10 different like trails in my city, and then it would give you like links to them. So like,
okay,
it's interesting. I think the All Trails one is just pretty much when they did like GPT plugins like earlier last year. It's pretty much just that. I also don't know why you would really need that over just like All Trails taking ChatGPT and just sticking it on their website and letting you search for it there, or even just doing a search on their website. I don't really understand how it was like that much different, because
so
sometimes I feel like these tools are a bit of a stretch. Like, I think they're awesome, but like, I think people should probably kind of stick to like, this is an AI tool, stick to like generative AI functionalities, not just like this is searching trails.
You know? Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, to your point, I think Google has become so commercialized, and like, you don't know if your results are based on paid ads or what. It's hard to differentiate anymore.
Correct.
So having a tool like this, you know, where you can almost use it as a search engine, I think could be useful someday. Although, you know, I don't know if I 100% would trust at this point results from that either, but I think eventually it'll have be powerful enough to crawl enough information to give you accurate data. But yeah, almost like just kind of using it as a search engine, long-term, I think could be definitely something too. So,
okay, something else funny that I think that you could definitely do. There's another one on here that's called Cartoonize Yourself, and it just, you know, it turns your photo into like a Pixar style illustration. So you just upload the photo and it does that. I think this is cool because this is kind of like what Lens and a lot of these other, there's like a lot of like photo apps that do similar things to this. And I just think it's funny that like now this is just like a free thing that you can use here. But what I was thinking, I'm like, you literally could set up like listings on Fiverr of like, I'll take your photo and make it like X or make it like Z. And then you don't even have to know the prompts to do that. You could just find GPTs on the GPT store and just like have a little arbitrage marketplace where you just do that for people. And then,
totally.
I mean, of course, if you want to be more in depth, you go figure out some solid prompts. Like I have a friend that he has a website. This is a good business where essentially it's using like a lot of these like AI tools. I think specifically from like some Stable Diffusion stuff and some like face swapping stuff. But pretty much what he does is you can upload a picture of yourself and then he turns you into like a Viking. So he's got like a bunch of kind of like a bunch of like Midjourney prompts. Might have even paid someone to make all these Midjourney prompts of like cool Viking scenes and stuff. And then he just Stable Diffusion to swap you out. Anyways, his whole business right now is doing pretty good. And the whole thing he's done by literally he just finds Viking communities on Facebook. And he just posts pictures of himself as a Viking. And he's like, oh, dude, check out this cool like Viking picture I made. And people are like, oh, man, where did you like get this? And he like drops a link to his thing. And he'll do like a he's like, yeah, I just like went and was trolling a bunch of Viking groups and made like $700 in the last 2 hours. And like,
dang, that's crazy.
Like, click the link and they're like, that's stupid. That like, you've got to pay for that website and stuff. And he's like, oh, it's okay. I did one for you for free. And he like takes their Facebook photo and like sends them like, and like posts the picture of them as a Viking anyways. Anyways, it's really funny. But yeah, he makes money doing it. So I think there's definitely a niche for people who want to see some of this like fun, novel AI art stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of, you know, back to your point with, it's kind of like, there's a lot of lowbrow Fiverr type side hustles you can do with a lot of these GPTs, even back to the logo creator one where you can do like a little app icon and logo for somebody. It takes you 5 minutes to do on ChatGPT, you know, and then you're able to do, you know, 20 of those in a day. There's a lot of smaller side hustles that you can use these GPTs for as well. So another one that I thought along the lines of coding that I thought was really interesting concept is screenshot to code GPT. So basically if you find like a form or a something on a website, you can screenshot it and then it will write the code. I haven't tried it out, but that sounds, I mean, for the website builders, social media marketing people out there, I feel like that could be a really powerful tool as well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Screenshot to code, it would be epic. And I think, well, a lot of people would use that. I mean, screenshot to text also, but like, you know, a lot of times I think there's like these code tutorials where they're like, and then you like blah, 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 blah. And they're like typing it all. And you like literally have to copy it if they were too lazy, to like put a link to the code in the description. Sometimes they'll do that. But like sometimes they're just like literally coding crap and telling you what to do. So yeah, if you could just screenshot that and get it to write it for you, that'd be a lifesaver. Okay, my question that I really was asking a lot is like, how do you actually create a GPT and get it to like rank? And I think I've kind of figured out like the way to do this, just based off of watching a couple people that I know that have apps that are ranking in these categories. Because what you'll notice if you go to the GPT store is there's like, I think there's like 6 or 7 different categories. And if you click see more, it shows you originally 6 apps per category. And then we click see more, it shows you 12. So like, you know, really 6 times 7 or 7 times 12 is what you're going to get for like total apps that are like featured. Beyond that, you got to search for them, and it's, you know, you might get lost in the fog of all the, you know, millions. I think that over a million apps have already been created. So how do you actually like rank? How do you get on trending? How do you get discovered on this? I think what I've come to the conclusion is pretty much like, and this is not a huge shocker, pretty much like every single platform, you can't just expect to create a GPT that's like useful and magically it's going to like go viral or it's going to go on trending or it's going to get found and used by literally anyone unless you push traffic to it externally. I think that's what you have to do here. Mm. So I think what's interesting is like if you go down to, in like the DALL-E section, even like, you know, there's Tattoo GPT or like Cartoonize Yourself. Like I guarantee Cartoonize Yourself, the reason that it's trending is because it probably is in a couple viral TikToks and then everyone searched for it, found it and used it. And so I just think at the end of the day, that's the way you have to do this. But I still think there's a huge opportunity if you're able to drive traffic from external sources to these GPTs that you make.
Well, yeah, and I would like to know, maybe you know the answer to this, Jaden, but what kind of revenue could someone earn by making a GPT? Like if, you know, all these people are paying $20 a month for a GPT premium, what kind of kickback would you get for like a download or a use of your GPT? Do you know?
I think that is the other slight problem. Like you definitely can make money eventually. They said they're going to do a monetization program. They haven't launched it yet. And they said the most popular GPTs will be eligible. So like, I don't think it's like you make a tool and you get paid. I think it's like you make a tool and if you get lucky and get added into the monetization program, you can get paid. So it seems kind of a little bit opaque, but you can use some tools in the meantime. So that's my only, I guess, criticism of the whole GPT story is it's not like, for example, like I'm building AI Box, which is similar, no code AI app builder and marketplace, except instead of just the OpenAI tools, you can use like all the AI tools in the world essentially will be on there and you'll be able to mix them all together. But like for us, it's really important that like when you build a tool and someone uses it, you are just going to get paid every time. It's not like you get paid if you're like in the top 1% of like tools on our platform. It's like, no, it's pretty much like, I think of it like Spotify, right? Like when if you create a song and put it on Spotify, Spotify's not like, oh, we only pay like Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber and like, you know, the top 100 artists. Like they pay everyone and you just get paid per stream. I think that's like a more, I don't know, ethical, sustainable method or whatever that's going to make people want to create stuff. But it would appear at the moment that's not exactly what OpenAI is doing. But I mean, whatever. I'll curb my criticism. It's a cool platform and product. So I don't think that there's to answer your question, there's no set amount of money. It's
okay. No. Yeah, that's because, I mean, but until they do have some kind of monetization, they're going to get, I feel like, a bunch of low quality GPTs. I feel like it'll help increase the overall quality of them if they can give some kind of incentive to people, because it really is a skill to learn how to use GPT in a way that actually is good and useful to people. So I don't know. I feel like they got to figure that out for sure.
What I will say, one other valuable thing about creating these GPTs that not a lot of people are thinking about is the fact that if you go to the GPTs on the GPT store, I click on anyone, like this random one I'm clicking on called Super Describe. It says Super Describe by bestaiprompts.art. And if you click on that, it's literally a backlink to this website, which I don't know anything about, so this is not an endorsement. I just randomly found it. So what's interesting here, though, is like you get a backlink when you create these tools. And I think that in and of itself is powerful. I think Google actually like will index these and it's like, you know, a valuable backlink for you for like SEO purposes. So even if you're not making money off of it right off the bat, I think it's still useful to go. And like, I think everyone for your own website should probably go make 10 GPTs. And so I've actually done this where to set up the backlink, you have to do it a special way. Normally it's just going to say your name. What you do is you add a verified website to your account. You can Google how to do this, but pretty much you have to go to like your web server, go to your DNS settings, create a TXT file with some code that they give you, and then it verifies that you own that website, and then you can use that URL. I think that's 100. I know it's kind of a hassle and whatever. There's a bunch of tutorials on how to do it. This is 100% worth it, though, in my opinion, because getting a backlink from the GPT store, it's like a domain authority 95 or something like out of 100, like crazy. So I think it's a very high quality, high value backlink. And I think it's worth, if for nothing else, for some backlinks making a handful of GPTs that are, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially moving forward as AI and, you know, becomes more indexed and powerful on Google for different things. You know, I see two, I opened up four GPTs and there's two of them that have backlinks to the actual website. So I think, you know, if you, you know, are trying to sell AI related tools or really anything, yeah, that's a great point. The backlink and connection to your website.
Yeah. So I mean, I think there's a lot of like the big takeaways here are like build these GPTs for backlinks, if nothing else. If you're going to try to make like money from them, focus on like techniques for driving external traffic to them. I think it's going to be your big play. And then of course, regardless of those, if you have any sort of online business, go search the marketplace, find tools that are going to help you, because this is an incredible way to expedite whatever whatever process and whatever thing that you're doing in your current business is. And so, yeah, I think this is an awesome tool. Love it. And thanks so much for tuning into the podcast today. If you got any value out of what we shared today, we'd really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. On Spotify, you got to hit the About tab. And I think you actually have to listen to at least three of our episodes to review us on Spotify. So, you know, I mean, I hope all of you listen to more than three episodes. You know, we drop three a week. Leave us a review. It helps out the podcast to be found by more people. We really appreciate it. But we hope that you all have an amazing rest of your week. And we'll catch you next time.
See ya.